Mother Chantel Mary Payton is the local superior of the Little Sisters of the Poor in Newark, Delaware. And she's my guest this morning on Catholic Forum. Good morning, Mother.
Good morning, Bob.
Thanks so much for being with us today. This is a very exciting time for you and your community, the Little Sisters of the Poor, because on October 11th, Blessed John Jugan, who is the foundress of Little Sisters of the Poor, will be canonized. And so congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a long time coming, and we're just very grateful now that it's going to be realized.
But some of our listeners might not be aware of Jeanne Jugan and her life. Tell us a little bit about her, if you would, please.
Yes. Well, Jeanne Jugan was born on October 25th, 1792, in a small hamlet in Brittany, France. She grew up in a very poor household. Her father disappeared at sea while he was gaining a livelihood by fishing, which many of the individuals and many of the men in that area, that was their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother taught her, was responsible primarily for her religious education, because many of the churches were closed at the time as a result of the French Revolution. When she was about 15, she left home to work to help her mother raise the rest of the children. And then little by little, she took a job in a hospital where she learned how to care for individuals, not realizing that that was going to be her life work. When she was in her 40s, in the winter of 1839, she welcomed into her home an elderly woman who was paralyzed and blind and had no one to care for her. She carried her on her back up a staircase and put her in her own bed, and she went to sleep in the attic on the floor. And that really was the beginning of our congregation. The work spread very rapidly because there were a lot of poor in that area in France at the time. And many young women came to join her to help in the work. Her thought process really was not necessarily to begin a religious congregation, mm-hmm. but God showed her that that's really what he wanted of her. And over the years, that was refined, and our constitutions were approved by the church in March of 1879 by Pope Leo XIII, and shortly before she died in August of that year.
Wow, so the Little Sisters of the Poor community, which is worldwide.
That's correct.
Started with one act of compassion with Jeanne Jugan, of bringing this woman who probably had no place else to go.
That's right. And
it started from there.
That's correct. And another issue that's very extraordinary in her life was that there was a young priest who was helping her. At the beginning of the congregation, he took over the leadership in the congregation, and he put her aside. So for 27 years, she was hidden at the mother house in France, and no one knew, the Little Sisters did not know, she was the foundress. And that only came to light long after she died. She died in 1879, and it was in the 1930s that the process for her beatification and eventually her canonization took off. But she was a very hidden person.
Hmm.
She felt that God was asking her to live that humble, hidden life in order to gain the graces necessary for her congregation to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, it's taken probably a little longer to get her to the point of recognition and to give her the glory that is due.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, a canonization is God's glory, but
that's right.
To recognize who she was and the greatness of that simple act of bringing someone into her home.
Mm-hmm. Tell the sister about the process for canonization. You mentioned beatification. Is that the first step? Or
usually there's a diocesan inquiry that is the process, which is governed by canon law, and then it's eventually taken to Rome, where there's another whole series of procedures to go through. There has to be a miracle that's authenticated, and then the person is declared blessed. After that, there needs to be another miracle, which is studied by a group of a medical team,
mm-hmm.
Some who would, as they used to say, be the devil's advocate. Now they call them the defenders of the faith to prove that this miracle really did happen without any kind of medical intervention. And then it goes to the theologians who study her life as well as any writings, which she herself did not leave behind. And then it goes to the College of Cardinals. And then after that, to the Holy Father who signs the final declaration. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the miracles, and I mean, they just don't take someone's word for it. I mean, they do a very exhausting medical evaluation to make sure that this is actually a true miracle.
That's
do you have information about Jean Jougan's miracle?
Yes. It was a Dr. Edward Gatz, who actually is still living. Mm-hmm. He is from O'Neill, Nebraska, born in 1937. And in 1989, there was a cancerous lesion in the lower part of his esophagus, and he was hospitalized in Rochester, Minnesota, at the Mayo Clinic, and he had surgery that same month. They did a partial resection there, and he himself, being an anesthesiologist, realized the seriousness of this. The day he was actually diagnosed, his wife knew a priest, Father Richard McGloin, who a Jesuit out there in that area, and she told Father about her husband, and he suggested that they pray this novena prayer to Blessed Jean Jougan. At that point, Dr. Gatz did not know about Jean Jougan, so they made the 9-day novena prayer, and at the end of it, in March, he went back for a final endoscopy examination, and there was no signs of the recurrence of the tumor.
Wow.
And so he himself now is 72 years old, and he is hoping to be present at the canonization.
That's wonderful that it's an American miracle.
And we have no homes in Nebraska, so that that's another kind of testimony to God's intervention there, that they would come in contact with someone who knew the little sisters, but were not in the area that Dr. Gatz would have been able to have met prior to that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So where were you when you heard the news that Pope Benedict XVI had announced that Blessed Jean Jougan would be canonized in October?
Actually, our Mother General knew that information was going to be given out in the month of December, and so we were all kind of tuned into that, and we were anxiously awaiting the fax to come, or an email, from our mother house in France, and then we were told that there would be a consistory in February of this year, of 2009. And so then again, we were present at the fax machine and at the emails or the telephone, however they were going to communicate that. And given the difference of time between here and Europe, we received that information very early in the morning. Actually, it was around 6 o'clock.
So did you have a little party?
We did. Yes, we gathered all the residents together and had a real celebration in all of our homes that very day. We were able to have Mass celebrated that day also in Thanksgiving in all of our chapels.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Now, I understand that you will be in Rome for the canonization.
I will. It was decided that this event is really about our elderly residents, and although it's a great honor for us as little sisters, we would not be here if it were not for the elderly that we serve. So in each home, the sisters put their names in a hat, and out came one name, and that sister will be accompanying a group of residents and along with some volunteers or friends of the congregation to Rome. Here in Delaware, we were able to raise funds to be able to send three of our residents to Rome.
Wonderful.
And which is a real joy for us. And then we will be joined by many others. Each province, of which there are 20, will be sending approximately 110 to 120 official delegates to the canonization, but there are many other friends that are going to join us also, more or less on their own. So given the fact that we are international and this is the same in every single house, we would be expecting well over 3,000 people present just for John Jugan.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. So it'll be October 11th in Rome, and the proceedings will be on television on EWTN, right?
Yes, EWTN is going to televise live beginning at 4 a.m., and I'm sure it will be replayed later in the day mm-hmm. and maybe for several days. Another one of those who are being canonized is Father Damien, the leper of Molokai. Mm-hmm. And we kind of felt that that was also providential because his life was given to the poor and to the marginalized. And so John Jugan would be very happy about that, I think.
She's in good company.
That's right.
Now, there's going to be a local celebration, correct, Mother?
Yes, there is. We will be celebrating on October the 29th. The Mass will be at our parish church, Holy Family, on Gender Road. It will be presided by Bishop Maluli. And then afterwards, there will be a reception back here in our home. We are also hoping to have several open houses during the course of the next year because you celebrate a canonization for a whole year. But I should say prior to that, on October the 11th, we're going to videotape the actual Mass and replay it in the afternoon at 2 o'clock here in our home. And hopefully there'll be many people who will be able to join us for that.
And that will be open to the public?
Huh? Yeah, it will be open to the public.
Huh, great.
Yes.
Mother, if there's someone listening who is interested in John Jugan, want to find out more information, obviously we just scratched the surface here this morning. Is there a book that you suggest that they read or a website or how can people get more information?
We do have a website. It's www.littlesistersofthepoor.org. And when that opens up, you can go to any home in the United States to read what goes on there locally. Mm-hmm. Also, we have quite a bit of literature here in the home. So if someone would want to write to us or call us for the book of her life or any other books that surround her spirituality and the work of the Little Sisters, we would be more than happy, you know, to send them that information. They can address it either to myself or just Little Sisters of the Poor, 185 Salem Church Road, Newark, Delaware, 19713. And our phone number is 302-368-5886. It's our desire to spread her life and her mission as widely as possible. It's very timely in this day and age as an increased number of individuals reach the ripe age of 65. Although for us, that's not old.
And if there's any young women listening who want to have a wonderful, rewarding life of serving God through serving the elderly, give you a call. Huh?
That's right.
Always looking for vocations.
That's right. That's correct. We presently have 8 novices in our novitiate in New York, and with the promise of 5 more young women joining us in late October or early November of this year.
That's wonderful. So it's October the 11th. Blessed John Jugan will be canonized by His Holiness Pope Benedict the 16th. It's at 4 a.m. on local time, but the canonization will be taped and shown at the John Jugan residence on Salem Church Road in Newark at 2 p.m. and that's open to the public. And then on October 29th at 5 p.m. at Holy Family Church on Gender Road in Newark. A Mass celebrated by Bishop Maluli and a reception afterwards, so we can all get into this celebration of the canonization of John Jugan.
Yes. In this day and age when the role of the elderly is questioned, I think this is a tremendous testimony to the people of God of the value and the dignity that needs to be brought to that stage of life and, in fact, to all stages of life. So we pray that her life and her work and especially her sacrifices will obtain that for many people.
Wonderful point, very well made. Mother Chantel, thanks so much for being with us this morning on Catholic Forum. And once again, congratulations on the canonization of John Jugan.
Thank you. And may we all celebrate.